If I should ask the question, why should we have some awe? And you will answer, because he's awesome.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Greetings to our radio listeners. This broadcast program is coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly in the East Mount Airy section of Philadelphia, and this evening we will hear a timely message from Dr. Raphael Thomas as we celebrate the 250th anniversary of our nation's birth. God has made very clear the character qualities of nations that will enjoy His providential blessings. So this evening, Dr. Thomas will examine for us the 33rd chapter of the book of Psalms, drawing out four characteristics of a God-blessed nation. Here now is Dr. Thomas with the first part of his message, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord."
Let me say, happy independence to you all. This year, 4th of July, was a little different. For some, it was too hot to barbecue. For others, it was too wet for fireworks. But for the people of God, whether it is wet or dry, whether it is hot or cold, we have a reason to praise the Lord. We are going to praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the evening, praise Him at all times. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let me invite you to pray with me as we look into the word of the Lord. Almighty God, we pray that you will bless your words unto our hearts and glorify your name. We pray, Lord, that you will intensify your presence in our midst, and you will restrain every spirit of opposition or destruction. And you would cause that there would be liberty in this place, for where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Give liberty to preach and liberty to hear, and liberty to respond to the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As America celebrates its 250th anniversary of independence, we acknowledge the blessings of Almighty God upon this nation. We also remind ourselves of the sovereign God who has established conditions to experience His blessings. Today, I would like to draw your attention to four characteristics of a blessed nation found in Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, we see the psalmist moving from the global to the national and then to the individual. And so the word of God is applicable globally, nationally, and individually. However, in this psalm, there seems to be a heavy emphasis on the national. At the heart of this psalm are the words, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." We have been called to remember the works of the Lord this morning. And as we remember the works of the Lord, it cannot escape our notice that God has richly blessed America. Not so that we would keep His blessings to ourselves, but so that we might become a blessing to nations. Over the past two decades alone, America has helped save more than 26 million lives through HIV/AIDS program. It has invested over $120 billion in global health, sent more than 100,000 missionaries around the world, fed billions through international food assistance, and welcomed over 1 million international students each year. These are reminders that when God blesses a people, He intends for them to bless others. Let us examine the psalm and see some of the characteristics of a blessed nation. Number one, a blessed nation rejoices in God. In verse 1 of Psalm 33, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous." Allow me to take a deeper look into this verse. The word "rejoice" there means to give a ringing cry, to break forth into joy, to shout joyfully. The Lord calls upon His people to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And I must point out that the word "Lord" there is Yahweh, the name that the Lord declared Himself to Moses as Yahweh, the one who is, the one who was, the one who shall ever be. There is no shadow of turning with Him. You see, it is the proper name to this God who is the creator of heaven and earth. We are not just talking about rejoicing in any and any God. The scripture calls us to rejoice this morning in Yahweh, the God of heaven, the triune God, the God who revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. When He came to this earth, He declared Himself as the I Am. Rejoice, therefore, in Yahweh, O you righteous. The word therefore, rejoice, is ranan. Shout for joy. And sometimes as we rejoice, we have to give out a shout. And I am reminded of the shouts from the stadiums. Do you remember when Morocco put that third goal into the net in the final few seconds of the match? There was a shout. Can the people of God shout for joy when we think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me? My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. God has done so much for us that we must never cease to praise Him. We will praise Him from the valley. We will praise Him to the mountains. We will praise Him at all times because our God deserves all praise. We will say like Job, though you slay me, yet will I bless you, because our praise does not depend upon circumstances. Our praise does not depend upon how we feel. Our praise goes to Almighty God, who is always God and always able. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Then it goes on to say, for praise from the upright is beautiful. He uses another word there for praise, tehillah. It means praise, adoration, glory. Giving glory and adoration to God is beautiful. In other words, it is the appropriate response of the righteous. God calls us to praise Him. God commands us to praise Him. God expects us to praise Him. God created us to praise Him. Even the trees of the fields clap their hands. The Bible tells us that the trees sing to the Lord. Let all creation praise Him. In fact, let everything that has breath Praise the Lord. For this is the whole duty of man, to give glory to God. For it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. That's why we enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, and into his courts with praise. We praise him when we feel like it, and we praise him when we don't feel like it. In verse 2, the Bible tells us, praise the Lord with the harp. It employs another word there. It is yada. It means to give thanks or to praise. Do you have anything to give God thanks for this morning? Oh, it is a good thing to give thanks unto to the Lord. And we have so much to give thanks to the Lord for. Sometimes we find so many things to complain about. But when we begin to count our blessings and to name them one by one, they remind us of what the Lord has done. Then the scripture goes on to say, make melody, or to sing, to make music, and again, to praise. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. We don't have to keep singing the old songs. Although the old songs are good, but sometimes when the Lord works mysteriously in our lives, we make up even our own songs to praise him because of the goodness of God. And I thank the worship team for leading us into new songs from time to time as we express the praise and the glory to God in different ways. Sing to him is a command from the Lord. By the way, we need some more voices on the choir. Because when you come to sing, it is not to entertain the people. God is looking for some persons who will see this as a ministry to the Lord himself. As we look in the Old Testament, we see how God organized the singers and the choirs to lead God's people into worship and to minister before the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord a new song and play skillfully with shout of joy. See, the Lord didn't just call us to rejoice. He gives us reason to rejoice. And in verse 4, we see, for the word of the Lord is right. One of the things that we praise God for is for his word. The word is creative. In fact, the Bible says he has exalted his word above his name. For he spoke and the world came into being. We praise God for the word of the Lord is right. And we also praise God for all his work that is done in truth. When you look at the work of God in your own life, you cannot help but praise him. We praise God this morning for his word. That incorruptible word, that word which is the seed that brings forth life. And as we hear the word of God this morning, God will use that word to create faith in your heart, to give you the capacity and the ability to trust God and to respond to his call upon your life. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So expect God to do a work in your life as you listen to his word, because it is alive and it is active, and it gives you the ability to respond to God. Because unless the word of God does a work in our hearts, we cannot be born again. God calls us to rejoice because of his word and to rejoice because of his work. In verse 5, he says, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, that goodness of God is something that is characteristic of Yahweh. The word used in the Hebrew is chesed. When I came across that word, my professor said, we have to sound it like there is cold in your throat. Chesed. It means the steadfast love. It means the unfailing love. It means the love and devotion of God. We serve a God of love. Our God is a God of love. He that knoweth not God knoweth not love. For God is love. If there is anything that can define our God, He is the God of love. I want to tell somebody this morning, He loves you with an everlasting love. And His love will not run out on you. His love is everlasting. He loves you so much that He was willing to leave heaven and come to earth and give His life upon a Roman cross to save you from your sin. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, that grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. I want to remind you that you are loved. You are not forgotten. For you are made in the image and in the likeness of God, and you were made for a purpose. And though you have sinned, there is mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. He calls us to praise Him, to rejoice this morning because of His word, because of His work, and because of His steadfast love, which never ceases. The goodness of God. One songwriter says, His goodness is running after me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It means loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, loyalty, faithfulness, and goodness. That is reason to bow before Him and worship Him. This morning, He gathers the waters. Well, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. God requires His creation to praise Him. We have a divine obligation to praise and worship Him. We cannot fully be the persons that God has called us to be unless we fill that void in our soul with worship of the living God. For God has put eternity in the hearts of men and women. We cannot be complete without worshiping the living God. Praise is the proper response of God's people. Worship acknowledges God's character. We rejoice because His word is true, His works are faithful, and His love fills the earth. How are we responding to God as a nation? Some very quick statistics can give us an indication. In 2007, 78% of U.S. adults identified as Christians. In 2014, 71% of U.S. adults identified as Christians. From 24 to 25, about 62% identify as Christian. So you see, there is a decline. The decline, however, appears to have slowed and may be leveling off. According to the Gallup reports, There is a long-term decline in weekly attendance in places of worship. In 1958, 49% attended a house of worship in the previous week. In the year 2000, only 44% attended a house of worship in the previous week. In 2010, 39% attended a house of worship in the previous week. In 2023, 32%. And 2025, 32%. While these statistics show a significant decline over several decades, there are encouraging signs. I said, there are encouraging signs. There are encouraging signs. Pew Research reports that the decline in Christianity has slowed considerably since 2020, suggesting the trend may be stabilizing. Recent polls, and this is according to the Washington Post, recent polls also indicates increased religious interest among young men. Can we say amen? Amen? Because traditionally, men have been shying away from church. But more young men now are showing interest in church, even more than young women. Although the researchers caution that it is too early to conclude if this represents a broad national revival, some believe that America is now standing on the threshold of another big move of God. May the church continue to pray. Believers have been praying that God will do it again. We have great memories of how God has worked in the past, in the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, in various revivals. Today, there are pockets of revival across the United States, especially among the youths on university campus. Can the church rise up and pray that the fire will spread? It will spread across this land until there is a return to God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. A blessed nation rejoices in God. Secondly, a blessed nation reveres God. A blessed nation reveres God. In verse 8, the scripture says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." It means to fear, to revere, to be even afraid of. And then it goes on to say, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. If I should ask the question, why should we have some awe? And you will answer, because he's awesome.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.